You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 229, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today we read number 4, Jesus and Cedar. Jesus and the youths reached Cedar before the Sabbath. They had traveled by the high road, but by roundabout ways. As it was too late to enter the city, they passed the night at a large public inn, at which other wayfarers had sought shelter. There were open sheds with sleeping accommodations in the enclosure, and the whole was surrounded by a courtyard. A man, the one that superintended the establishment, unlocked the inn, after which he returned to the city. Next morning, he came out again to the inn, and then received a small sum for his services. The travelers went their several ways, but the superintendent took Jesus and his companions back with him to his house in the city. Cedar was situated at the foot of a mountain, in a valley through which flowed a river. It consisted of an old and a new city, separated by the little river, which flowed from east and off toward Palestine. The shore was very steep, and the river was spanned by two arches very solidly built. On this side, the place was poor and insignificant, and inhabited principally by Jewish shepherds, who likewise engaged in the manufacture of light huts, shepherd and stable utensils. On the opposite side, Cedar presented a more opulent appearance. There were no Jews there, but only heathens. The Jewish costume was somewhat modified here, for some of the people wore a pointed cap. In the city, this side of the river, there was a synagogue, and upon a square surrounded by grass plots and walks of clean white sand, played a fountain. This was the most beautiful spot in the city. The Lord and the boys went with their host to the synagogue and quietly celebrated the Sabbath. At the end of the prayers, Jesus asked whether he might venture to relate something to them, and when the good people showed their willingness to listen, he recounted the parable of the prodigal son. They listened attentively, admired him greatly, but knew not who he was. He called himself a shepherd seeking the lost lambs in order to lead them into good pasture. They regarded him as a prophet and during the rest of the day conducted him to their houses, whereto he taught. The next day, he gave an instruction at the fountain. The men and women sat at his feet and he pressed the children to his breast. He told them about Zacchaeus climbing up the fig tree, of his leaving all and following him, of him who in the temple had said, I thank God that I am not like the publican. And lastly, of that other, who striking his breast said, Lord, be merciful to me, a poor sinner. The inhabitants of Cedar became very fond of Jesus and thought no harm of him. They begged him to stay with them till the next Sabbath and then teach again in their school. And when they asked him about Jesus of Nazareth, he related to them many things of him and his doctrine. On leaving this place, Jesus and his traveling companions proceeded eastward from Sidar into a country of a beautiful meadowlands and palm trees, and thence to Edon. On the way, he visited a house that stood off by itself, and in which both the father and mother of the family had long been bedridden with incurable maladies. Several children were going and coming around the house. All were good. Here also they asked him about Jesus of Nazareth, of whom they had heard divers reports. Jesus answered them in a beautiful parable of a king and his son, in which he spoke of the one of whom they inquired. He told them that he would be persecuted and that he would return to his father's kingdom, which he would share with all those that had followed him. As Jesus spoke, I had a vision of his passion, his ascension, his throne surrounded by all the angels, and set next his father's, meaning his dominion over the world. And lastly, I saw the reward portioned out to his followers. I saw likewise the vision of his kingdom and the whole parable that he was relating to the people. And I saw, too, that he impressed upon their hearts a lasting picture of it. When he asked them whether they believed all that had been told them and whether they would follow the good king, they had protested their belief and their willingness. He promised the two old people that God would reward them by curing them and allowing them to follow him to Edon. And all on a sudden they were restored to health, and all to astonishment of the beholders were indeed able to follow Jesus to Edon. The man's name was Benjamin, and he was a direct descendant from Ruth. I think that Titus was either a son or a relative of this couple, so suddenly cured. He was at that time between 14 to 16 years old. He went to Sidar and to every other place in this region to which Jesus taught in order to hear him and to listen to others talking about him. Marcus, whose birthplace was near Judea, was acquainted with this family, and so too was Silas. Jesus and the three youths, on leaving that house, went on to Edon. Through lovely fields and meadows shaded by palm trees, Jesus carried a shepherd's crook in his right hand. In the public feast house, on a large open square to the left of the entrance to the city, a marriage was being celebrated. The house contained a large hall, at the end of which was the kitchen. All around it were sleeping apartments, in each of which there were three beds that could be separated from one another by an ornamented screen. Although it was clear daylight, a lamp was burning in the hall. The guests, male and female, as also the bride and bridegroom adorned with flowery wreaths, were all assembled in the same apartment. Boys were singing and playing upon flutes and other instruments. These pious people were awaiting Jesus, whom they looked upon as a prophet. They had heard of his teaching and parables in Sidar and the surrounding district, and had in consequence invited him to their wedding. They received him joyfully and reverently, washed his feet and those of his young companions, and dried them with their own garments. They took from Jesus' staff, placed it in a corner, and prepared for him a table. On it were some little rolls, a honeycomb almost a foot in length, and some red berries from a top of which they detached before eating a little circle of black leaves tipped with white. There were two little earthen jugs and cups on the table, and some small dishes. The last mentioned looked like glazed earthenware, out of which, with little spoons, they put something into their drink. The guests reclined at table upon small leaning benches, and to Jesus was given the seat between the bridegroom and the bride. The women sat at the lower end. Jesus blessed the food and drink, of which all then partook. During the meal, Jesus taught. He told the guests about the man in Judea who at the marriage of Cana in Galilee had changed water into wine. When the couple, whom the guests had known so long as sick, but who had been restored to health, made their appearance, the amazement was great. They related all that the Lord had told them of the king and his kingdom, declared their belief in it, and said that they were as certain of having a share in that same kingdom as they were now conscious of the fact that they of having been cured. Jesus repeated to them the parable and told them in plain words that there was still a wall between them and the dominions of that king. but that they could force their way through it if they would overcome themselves. It was morning before the party retired to bed. The Lord and the young boy slept back of the dining hall. Before he lay down, however, he went aside and, kneeling, prayed with uplifted hands to his heavenly Father. I saw streams of light issuing from his mouth and another stream of light or an angelic form descending toward him. This often happened even in full daylight when at times Jesus retired to a solitary place to pray. I knew this about him even in my childhood, and when I saw him praying thus alone, I tried to imitate him. I saw the Blessed Virgin up to the conception of the Savior generally standing in prayer, her hands crossed on her breast and her eyes lowered. But after the Most Holy Incarnation, she generally knelt, her face raised to heaven and her hands uplifted. Next morning, on account of the great concourse of people, Jesus taught in the open air. He settled many matrimonial affairs for the people of this place, had lost the true conception of the law on that head. They wanted to espouse two blood relatives in succession, and they questioned Jesus on the matter. He explained to them that it was not allowed by the Mosaic law, and they promised to refrain from such unions. It was told Jesus also that in one of the neighboring places, a certain man was on the point of marrying for the sixth time. His five deceased wives, being sisters of the present, affianced. Jesus said that he would visit that place. He returned to Sidar for the Sabbath and taught the whole day in the school. He gave decisions upon many questions and doubts concerning the law and marriage, and reconciled some married couples that were at variance. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. And as he's doing that in this place of Sidar, how many times has Jesus told that story of the prodigal son? It's a story that we hear so often, and we reflect upon it, especially as we prepare for confession, realizing that we are the prodigal son. It says that the inhabitants of Sidar became very fond of Jesus and thought no harm of him. Just a simple reaction. They were fond of Jesus. Well, are you fond of Jesus? I hope you are. And if you're not fond of Jesus, pray to the Lord and say, Lord, make me fond of you. We know that Anne Catherine Emmerich is a visionary. She's a mystic. She's seeing these things unfold. Well, now she's having a vision within the vision today. As Jesus spoke, so she's seeing Jesus speak. I had a vision of his passion, his ascension, his throne, surrounded by all the angels. What great wonders Anne Catherine Emmerich is able to receive and is participating in. Even later, as the reading comes to a close, it says that I saw streams of light issuing from his mouth and another stream of light. So this is Jesus praying, and she sees the radiance of the divinity showering upon him. Just like Mary in that image of the miraculous metal rays coming forth from her hands. This is the divine light of Almighty God coming upon his son, Jesus. But it says this often happened even in full daylight. I knew this about him, even in my childhood. So remember, Anne Catherine Emmerich had these visions and all these crazy mystical things happening to her when she was a young kid. She used to talk to her guardian angel, and she thought everybody else did. She didn't realize that she was a privileged soul. So she says, I saw him praying thus alone. I tried to imitate him. I saw the Blessed Virgin. So because she's seen these things previously and she's seeing them again, it's enhancing her experience of prayer herself. And what God wants to do in her and with her and through her. And finally, I just want to make reference to this 14 to 16 year old person who is really following Jesus, going about wanting to hear him and to listen to others talk about him. That's a desire for God. Maybe you had a desire for God at a young age, or maybe you didn't, but hopefully if the Lord was here today, we would go around looking to listen to him. The great thing is there are people talking about him today at your parish church every Sunday, every day at daily Mass. The Lord wants us to desire to hear these teachings about who he is and what he can do for our lives. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others, rate and review it wherever you listen. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, and encourage them to so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.